You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
All right, we've been in a series, haven't we, called Good Gifts. We're week three. It's the last of the series today before next week, which is Pentecost Sunday, the day we know as when the Holy Spirit came and filled the upper room, filled the disciples. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and a very significant time, especially in a Pentecost church, that we celebrate next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. And so we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says this in verse 4, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given the message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each as he wills." Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it is life-giving and life-breathing. God, I pray that for the passage that we're looking at today, Lord, would you help it to come alive? Help us to understand what it is that you're trying to say. Lord, help us to find the area, the peace, the space in our own life that you want to speak to and direct us to. Father, we thank you so much for those baptisms this morning. Two dads with transformed lives, leaving a legacy for their kids. God, we just thank you that it is by the power of your Holy Spirit that we are transformed in that way. God, we just give this message to you, God. Pray that you would speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, a number of years ago, I was shopping at Countdown, Woolworths, formerly known as Countdown. It was many years ago, and you'll see just how long ago in a minute. And I was at the counter and I swiped my Countdown card. It was a blue card in those days. I swiped my card and the checkout lady said to me, "Do you need to update any of your details, your address, your phone number?" I said, "Oh, I don't know. What address have you got for me?" She read out the address and I realized in that moment, I said to her, "Goodness me," I said, "I've moved three times since I lived at that address." She looked at me with a shocked look on her face and I was like, "What's wrong? Why? What's the matter?" She said, "All of your rewards vouchers have been going to your old address." I was like, "What rewards vouchers? What are you talking about?" She says, "With every so many points you clock up when you've been swiping your card over and over again, you receive $15 worth of rewards voucher, like worth of money, Countdown money, to spend at Countdown, and it goes to your address in the post." That's how old it is, right? We get them automatically on our card now. This is when they used to mail it to you. And she said, "You've missed 4 years worth of rewards vouchers. You've missed 4 years worth of $15 vouchers." There were a whole bunch of gifts, a whole bunch of rewards, a whole bunch of things I was missing, and I had no idea I was missing them. There was a whole bunch I had access to, but was completely unaware it was available to me. Yes, I was busy swiping my card. Yes, I was turning up to the supermarket every single week. Yes, I was ticking off all of my shopping lists, buying all the things to secure the points, and yet I was missing the reward. I was missing the gift that I could have been receiving. Here in 1 Corinthians, we hear about the gifts available to every Christian believer. Paul describes it, it's like an above and beyond gift. It's a grace gift. It's a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. And yet, I think many of us are walking our Christian walk like I was using my Countdown card. We are swiping our card. We are doing all the right Christian things. We are turning up to church every single week. We are ticking off our nice little religious Christian to-do list boxes. And yet there is a gift available to us that too many of us don't even know that we have access to. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, yet we are unawares that we can redeem it. Too many believers are doing life without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this, in this third week of the series, I want to just outline to you, I just want to go through and briefly summarize these gifts for you, the gifts that are found in the scripture that we're looking at today. There are a number of different ones described in different parts of scripture, but I'll just focus on these nine for now. And then I'm going to share with you one last thought for our series that I want to sum it up, the whole thing. I want to share with you the golden rule for using the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, we read in verses 8 to 9, it tells us about nine specific gifts. These are nine specific gifts given by the Holy Spirit, and they're often characterized in three different categories. And these categories help us to remember them and also help us to understand them a little bit more. So I'm going to share those with you today. The first category is the revelation gifts. The second is the inspiration gifts, and the third is the power gifts. If we can remember them in those three categories, it helps us to understand more of what they are. Let's go through them quickly so we're all on the same page and we all understand what we're talking about. The revelation gifts. In other words, these are the gifts that enable us to know something. To know something we wouldn't know otherwise. To know something we wouldn't know without the Holy Spirit telling us. There's a gift that they call the gift of knowledge. This might sound more familiar to you if you've heard someone say, I've got a word of knowledge. That's how we kind of use it at church in Christian worlds. We say, I've got a word of knowledge for you. And it's given for the specific purpose of delivering and communicating divine revelation. Like, this is stuff you wouldn't really know otherwise. It has to do with God giving divine insight into certain situations. It might be about or around a specific person might come to mind to do with that word of knowledge. It's usually to do with a present time thing, like it's a now word, it's present tense. I can remember when we were leading one of our campuses, and it was a long time ago, and I remember one particular Sunday during the worship before Steve got up to preach, I remember him saying that he really felt this strong sense, like felt like it was from the Lord, that God was saying to him, there's someone in the room today and they're battling a drug addiction and I want to set them free. He was like, I just know that that's a thing. So when he got up to bring his message, he just said, hey guys, before I start this message, I just felt the Lord tell me today that there's someone in the room today, you're battling with a drug addiction. I just want you to know that God wants to set you free today. He was like, I'll just leave it there. And then he carried on with his message. Well, after the message, someone came up to him, and it was one of a person that we knew very well. They'd been in our church for many years. And they came up to him. They said, hey, you know that thing that you said about the person with the drug addiction? Well, that's me. I've been battling and addicted to marijuana for years, and I've never, ever told a soul. And God, Steve prayed for him right there. And from what I know, since that point on, they've not battled with that same addiction since. It was a word of knowledge. It was a now word of divine insight into a person or circumstance. And God used it to set someone free. Pretty cool, hey? Then there's the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom. Now, wisdom is different to knowledge because wisdom is a gift of knowing how to apply God's word, knowing how to apply God's truth to specific circumstances. Again, when we were leading a another campus, we led when we came into it to take it over. It had some major issues when we first moved up to take it on as a campus. We were very young. We were 26 and 28. We had a one-year-old, so we were new parents. We'd only been married for about 5 years. We had been 4 years as youth pastors, working in a youth ministry for 8 years. We'd only been really leading grown-ups for like 6 months, like adults, you know, big humans. And so this church that we went to take over, like, it had issues. It had, like, there were bleeding members and members were leaving every single week. It had massive financial debt, and we were sent up there and it was like, do your best. And the truth is, we had no idea what we were doing. Absolutely no idea. We would be in these meetings and I remember sitting there going, I don't know what to do. Like, please, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then Steve would open his mouth and I'd sit there flabbergasted going, whoa, that's really good stuff. Like, just, he was so wise. And I was like, is that the man that I married that lives in my house? And after the meeting, Steve and I would look at each other with shocked looks on our faces. I would say, babe, that was so good. Like, how did you know to say that? He was like, I don't know, but I wish I'd written it down because it was so good. It was the gift of wisdom. Only God, only an only God gift, a gift given by the Holy Spirit. Then there's a gift, the discernment of spirits. This is a gift that recognizes whether or not something is truly from God, whether it's in alignment and accordance with His righteousness and His Holy Spirit. It might be given to recognize when there's another spirit at work that's not the Holy Spirit. A discernment gift often feels for us like intuition. You know, there's like a knowing, a sensing of something being outside or being of God or not of God. And we often can feel, it can feel like sometimes we feel a little bit uncomfortable in a situation and there's like a little bit of a discernment at work there. Maybe it's a particular conversation, maybe it's a particular place that you're in, and it probably isn't the spicy chicken that you had for lunch. It could just be the Holy Spirit at work responding to the spiritual circumstances around us. And remember from our Armour of God series that we learned for many weeks that we're not, it's not a flesh fight, it's a spirit fight. And so that's where the discernment of the Holy Spirit comes in. I actually often see this gift most active in my children. My youngest son, Rocky, he will often walk into a shop or a home and he'll say, I don't like it here. It's yucky. It makes me feel yucky. What he doesn't know is that's actually discernment. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to him. That's the gift of discernment at work. So those are the revelation gifts, the gifts to know something. Then there's the inspiration gifts. These gifts are given to us, enabling us to say something. The inspiration gifts. So there's the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is, it's like a future tense word. Prophecy is given, giving us a message or letting us in on something that's really about a future happening. I remember in 2019, I got a really clear message from the Lord. I didn't realize it at the time, really. I sort of only realized it later. It was quite a strong prophetic word from God. And we were leaving New Zealand for a long sabbatical. We were taking like nearly 3 months off. And God spoke to me before he left. And I felt him talking to me. It wasn't an audible voice. It was a sensing that he spoke to me. And he said, this break is not about giving you rest for what has been. It's about giving you rest to prepare you for what is coming. And I remember really clearly him saying to me, something big is coming. We landed back in New Zealand in February of 2020. And we all know what happened in March of 2020. And as we entered into lockdown, I was reminded he brought back that script, that sensing that he'd given me, that word that he'd given me. And he said, something big is coming. I was reminded of, actually, that was a prophetic word that the Lord had put on my heart. The second, the other one that goes along with the inspiration or this enabling us to say something is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is to communicate in a language that isn't your language. It's speaking in a language you don't speak. And it's a language that often we don't learn. It's not a language that's learned, it's a language given to us. And often it's not even a language that we know of here on earth. It's a heavenly language that the Lord gives us, that the Holy Spirit gives us. And what I love about tongues is that it bypasses all of our feelings. It bypasses our mind and our thinking. And it speaks spirit to spirit. tongues, it's one of the, they say is one of the primary evidences, or no, not the only evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the greatest gifts to every believer. And the reason why that is because not only does it edify us and it builds our spirit up, but also it does what our flesh does not know what to do. It does not know. It does what our, when our flesh doesn't know what to do, when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to say, when we don't know where to go, when we don't know how to respond, when we're completely speechless, when we're lost, when we're unsure, when we're hopeless, we can use our heavenly language. And our heavenly language speaks straight from our spirit, the depths of who we are, to the Spirit of God who knows exactly what we need. It's the gift of tongues. Then, accompanying the gift of tongues, we see the interpretation of tongues. This gift, it tells us what that heavenly language is saying. So I must admit, I've never actually physically with my own eyes and ears seen this gift operate. I've never seen it, but I've heard many, many times all about it, where someone might speak in tongues and another person, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is given the interpretation of what those tongues are. I think this is pretty cool. Like, if you ask me, this is a pretty rad gift, where they will be able to understand what the person is saying. It's the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Those are the inspiration gifts, the gifts to say something. Are you with me still? Great. Third category is the power gifts. These are the gifts enabling you to do something. So we've got the gift of faith. This gift is just a trusting, it's a believing, it's a knowing, and it's nothing in your own flesh or that you can conjure up yourself. This is a Holy Spirit faith that says that God's going to do something. It's a level of faith that's lifted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of faith inspires others to have that same level of faith. That's what I love about this gift. See, for many years, I lacked a huge amount of confidence when it came to giving an invitation for salvation at the end of a message. You know, at the end of every message, we offer a moment in the service where people can respond to Jesus. And for years, I felt so uncomfortable doing it. I just thought, oh no, you know, that's scary to do that. And I was worried about, I don't know how many things or all sorts of things. I just lacked really confidence. I would shrink back. I'd say, Steve, you can do that bit. I'll pass it over to you. I'll pray and say amen, and then you can come and do your thing. And I'd default to someone else who I thought did it better than me. And one day I remember asking Steve why it looked so easy for me. I mean, this guy, we all joke about it. We're like, Steve gives a salvation call, half the room turns to Jesus, and we all want to re-give our lives to Jesus when Steve preaches and gives a salvation message. He's just gifted for it. And he said, no, he said, all it is that I've got a gift of faith. He said, I've got a gift of faith. I just know, I walk into the room, I know. I've just got faith that there's people in the room today and they are going to come to Jesus that day. And so I started to pray that God would give me the gift of faith. And so I prayed for weeks and weeks and weeks that God would give me the gift of faith. And over those weeks, I was still timid, I was still nervous, I was still worried. And then I went to preach one day in the city. And I don't know, maybe it's because hardly anyone knows me over there, but I just walked onto that platform. I gave the salvation message. Like 20 people put their hands up for salvation. And I knew in that moment that something had shifted, and I was now operating not out of me, but I was operating out of the Holy Spirit gift of faith. There's the gift of faith. There's the gift of healing. The gift to work in the healing power of God to see ailments healed through no medical explanation. When we were in youth ministry, we used to run midnight massives, and I know they still run them now, where we do praise and worship and prayer from 10 till midnight. It's like just for the young people. I know they, we, you know, can't stay up that late anymore, but they can. But we went through this season, Dan will remember, we went through this season where young people, hundreds of young people would come and they would get healed. We had people who would turn up in neck braces after an accident, like a car accident, and would walk away completely pain-free, completely healed, and signed off by a doctor the next day, might I add. We had people turn up in crutches that would end up walking out with no pain, injuries completely fixed. We had people that could hardly walk that were running laps around. Like, this is in a youth prayer and worship meeting. We just had healing after healing after healing. It was a gift of healing that was an operation. Then there's the gift of miracles, the gift to see signs and wonders that gives credibility to God's power at work, a transforming power, the ability to do what only God can do, the gift of miracles, the power gifts to do something. Now, can I share with you that just as I was writing this message, What this really showed me was that there are so many moments in my life where I needed the Holy Spirit to equip me. To equip me with stuff that I didn't have in my own power or ability. The Holy Spirit helped me believe again, to empower me, to strengthen me, to work through me in a way that I couldn't explain. It was a power greater, bigger at work in and through me than me alone. But just as important, or perhaps more important, as what the gifts are, I think Paul was trying to teach us something more. Paul was trying to teach us how they were to be used. And what I've recognized is that these gifts, while they empower me, strengthened me, were at work in me, they were not actually for me. And this is the golden key. This is the key that I want us to take away from the last 3 weeks. Here's the key. These gifts were not for me. It's not for me, it's for we. And this is what we need to remember about the gifts. It's not for me, it's for we. Because the gifts are for, number one, building the church and each other. That's what the gifts were given for. Verse 7, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. For the common good, not for my good, not for your good, for our good, for the common good. These gifts are not just to make us look better, feel better, sound better, appear better. They're not. There was only one gift given for self-edification. That was the gift of tongues. And if ever it is to be used publicly, then it should be given with an interpretation of tongues, because the whole point is to edify the body. That's what the gifts are for. These gifts have purpose, and the purpose of them is to unify the body of Christ and build up the body. These gifts were given to give. Remember a few years ago we did a Mother's Day, and every year on Mother's Day we try and give some gifts to some mums, and we honoured a few mums. A few years ago we gave some spa treatments, and I remember we gifted it to one young lady in our 5 p.m. service, and I went to her a few weeks later. I said, hey, did you enjoy your spa treatment? She said, oh, I'm really sorry. And I was like, what? She said, I gave it away. She gifted the gift. And I think that's God's heart for the gifts that he gives us, right? Is that we would gift the gift, because it's not for me, it's for we. The second thing that the gifts are for is they're to be used in submission to God and one another. Now, the gifts are there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works. Same God works all of them in each person. This scripture verse is saying it's the same God, but a different Spirit. Not same God, more important gift. Same God, different gift. Not same God, more important gift. And if we think back to Haley's message from a couple of weeks ago, where she was saying that most likely Paul's concern was actually this, was that the church in Corinth was seeing some gifts as more important than others. But here, Paul is trying to say it's not that some gifts are more important than others. It's actually that they need to submit to one another in an act of unity. There should be no rogue gifts in the family of God. No gift going off in its own direction. No gift operating to the tune of his own drum. Do you remember Simon's message from last week about the orchestra, right? What a beautiful picture. An illustration about us all communing, working with our gifts together, collectively and in cohesion. No gift operating in isolation, but each of us submitting to one another. Submitting to one another so that we aren't out of balance or out of alignment, but that we work together just like a body. Submit to one another, because it's not for me, right? It's for we. Lastly, I'm going to ask the band to come and join me. We administer the gifts through the vehicle of love. because it's not for me and it's for we, if we're going to get the we part right, then we have to get this part right. We have to get the golden rule right. And the golden rule is love. The golden rule for using the gifts is love. Our gifts must be exercised through love. One of the things Steve always teaches our team is not to worry about whether you're doing a good job. You know, when we get given an opportunity from God, we often pray that, don't we? Lord, help me to do a good job when I preach today. Help me to do a good job as I serve today. Help me to do a good job on the car park today, on the kids team today, wherever it might be. Help me to do a good job in my meeting today. But what if we changed it? And what if we weren't so concerned about whether we did a good job as to whether we actually blessed somebody? What if we changed our prayer not from, help me preach good today, God, to, Lord, may I just be a blessing to somebody today? What it does is it changes the vehicle through which we deliver, and we're delivering through a vehicle of love, right? We must get our heads around this, because this is how God is calling us to use the gifts that we've been given. Does he want us, if we were to ask him, God, do you want me to be good at it, or do you want me to simply love through it? I think the answer would be always love, right? Always love, love, love that leads us to serve others, to wash people's feet, to be there, to show up, to give, to care. Remember 1 Corinthians 13? Paul continues to give us a lesson about spiritual gifts. And remember, when he's writing 1 Corinthians 13, while we put it into a marriage ceremony, it's actually talking about the gifts. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all the ministry, all the mysteries and all knowledge. If I have faith that can move a mountain, but I don't have love, says I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Wow. Without love, it's all nothing. Love is the vehicle through which we use our gifts. Prophesy for that person out of love. Intercede, pray for them with faith out of love. Go after the miracle for somebody with a desperate love that you have for that person. Give out of love, administrate out of love, lead out of love, encourage out of love. If we actually care for another person's best and ensure that it's not about me, we'll do an absolutely wonderful attempt at using God's gifts that he's given us. And the Holy Spirit will turn up, and he will turn up in our weakness, and he will fill us with every gift that we need, and he will fill us and empower us with the Holy Spirit, and we will be surprised by God's goodness and kindness and power. And we together, church, will build his church for him and through him. Amen? The vehicle is love. It's not for me, it's for we. It's the gifts given that we might give. Amen? Let's pray together. God, we pray, Lord God, we thank you so much for the gift of these gifts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and the way that empowers us to do things that only you can do. We thank you that, Lord, you've given us these gifts, that you've opened them up to us, that they're available to us. Lord, what a blessing. Like, that's awesome. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to desire them. Help us to desire them. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit today. God, I just pray that you'd maybe, for those of us who are really desiring a gift or a particular gift, God, would you just stir faith in us for it, oh Lord. And God, most of all though, we pray that you would also add to the gifts the fruit of the Spirit, love. Would you help us to operate, teach us how to do it in a way that loves others. Lord, without that, we don't want it. Lord, we want to be people who don't do it for us, but we do it for one another. Help us to be people who use our gifts in a way that glorifies you and builds one another up. In Jesus' name. One more thing I want to do with you today. One more prayer I'd love to pray for you. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe today you've come into church and perhaps it's your first time here, or perhaps you've been coming for a little while, but you know you've never really made a decision for God. But you know as you walked in the room today, something was going to change as you left. And I'm going to invite you in a very few moments time to pray a very simple prayer with me. The truth is God loves you. He made you. He has a great plan for your life. We all sin. We all mess up. And that sin, it separates us from God. But in his mercy and his grace, he sent his son Jesus to come and live a sinless life on earth and then die a sinner's death that you and I might be given forgiveness and redemption from our sin, that he extends to each one of us today grace, that when he took upon himself what you and I would do for our sin, he gave us forgiveness for our past, new life right now, and a hope for our future and eternity with him. And if today you're saying, Bex, I know I need to give my life to Christ today. I need to make a decision. I need to turn this thing around. I'm going to invite you to join me as I pray this prayer. I'm going to pray it out loud online. I want to invite you to join me as well. I'll pray it out loud. You pray it in your heart. But this is your prayer. This is not my prayer. This is your prayer. You make it your own. We say, God, I surrender my life to you. I know I have sinned, but I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. I turn from my old life and I turn to you now. Come in. Be the Lord of my life. Make me brand new today. I choose from this day on to live for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.